You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
This Monday is March 8th, International Women's Day. It's a global day for celebrating the economic, political, and social achievements of women, past, present, and future. In places like China, Russia, Vietnam, and Bulgaria, International Women's Day is a national holiday. The government doesn't recognize IWD in Canada, but many activists do. The Canadian Committee for International Women's Day has organized a rally and a conference for this afternoon. One of the speakers at today's event is Ethiopian women's rights lawyer Semhal Getachew, and she's joined me on the line this morning. Hello, Semhal.
Hello.
What are the biggest problems facing Ethiopian women?
Like any country, manifold, but just to mention some, the major ones would be poverty, since in a country where almost 83% of the population lives in a rural country, the country, you can imagine that women are the poorest of the poor, because they are responsible for taking care of the family, and the last employment option, and the main one that they have is marriage. So one is that. The second is violence against women. As it stands, we, I think, rank the first in domestic abuse and other violences as well. So I could say these two are the major ones, among others.
I guess if a woman's main access to employment is through marriage, and then she gets involved with a man who is violent, then that means it's really hard for her to get out of that situation.
Yes. On top of that, we don't have victim services. Just recently, the government is trying to integrate this kind of services and trying to network between non-government and governmental organization. But as it stands, even today, if a woman goes to the police station, what the police will try to do, unless it's a grave bodily harm, will be trying to reconcile the couple and just tell her, you just have to go and kiss and make up, that's it. Because they have no place to keep the woman, there will be no referral services afterwards. So it's a dead lock for many women as it stands.
So there are no women's shelters then that the women can go to?
The main one for abused women is one. Now it's named Women's Sanctuary and Development Association. And there are like one or two that provide for children, victims of sexual offense, and one for returnees of immigrants from Middle East.
So we're talking about two centers for the whole country?
Yes, and they are in Addis only.
Do the laws in Ethiopia, so on the books, do they protect women's rights adequately, in your opinion?
We can say that it is okay now. There has been lots of reforms going on for the last 10 years, and it is up to the satisfaction of the international instruments as well. But what is the problem is implementation of those laws. And the country is faring behind on this front, that you have the laws, but implementation is not there.
And what do you think is really standing in the way of implementation?
What I could say is international funding has been very weak. The countries have made their commitment. The G8 have promised to double aid and to give the 0.7% of their Gini. But so far, they haven't even reached that far. And what I can say is that I cannot really blame my government for not responding to this victim services. But what I can say is that they're under a lot of stress to prioritize. And when women's voices are not heard, and women are not adequately represented in parliament, our voices go unnoticed, so our priority becomes the last priority. But what I'm calling on is for nations, citizens of a developed nation, to push their governments to meet what they promised. Failure to meet that means that women in developing countries really pay the consequence.
Now, you worked on a project funded through CEDA about domestic violence. What did that project involve?
The then Law Courts Aid of British Columbia in 2007. We had a project with them on training police, prosecutors and judges about causes of violence, cycle of violence, what does it mean to their professional responsibility, and safety assessment, and also handling of victims of violence. This was the first training ever provided to the police, prosecutors, and the judges. And my Canadian colleagues were so surprised to see that the police were actually claiming that hitting is justified. It's an expression of love. So if it is an expression of love, they think that if a woman is not harmed gravely, then she's just simply complaining.
Is that a reflection of what the police think only, or is it more of a kind of a broader cultural
thing? It's a cultural thing, a broader cultural thing. But for the police, we expect them to uphold the law. But I think the societal influence is too greater for them. And they keep on responding to victims of violence just the same way, like returning them back to their home.
So as long as they're not gravely hurt, then they will return them back?
Definitely, or they will have to go to their relatives or whatever means they can afford. It will be outside of the police station.
Now, one of the situations that is very serious here in Canada is the issue of women being murdered by their family members, by their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Is that also something that happens with women in Ethiopia?
There hasn't been any research so far, but in 2007 I did some exploratory study on this, and I tried to look through court files that have been decided in 1 year, and from the 2,800 cases, in 83 of the cases women were murdered by their intimate partner in most cases. So what this shows that, yes, there is that trend, but because we don't have a gender disaggregated statistics and data available, we just don't see it up front. But if we probe deep inside, we can really, really see that when women die, it's usually somebody very close.
Yes, if you don't have those statistics that separate men and women, then it's pretty hard to tell clearly what's going on.
Yes, you just have to do it manually. What I did was, for 1 year, I have to look through every court file and sort out the homicide cases, and then read every one of them, whether to see if the woman is a defendant or if the woman is a victim. So in all cases, you just have to do it manually. That's
right.
Just a sample study.
And then when you did that, you found it was like 80%?
In total, there were only 105 cases where the women were either defendant or victim. In 83 of the cases, the women were victims. And in those 83 of the cases, more than 95%, the defendants were either the husband or a boyfriend or fiancé or somebody who's intimately related with the woman.
Okay. So up in the high 90s then?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel that there is a political will in the Ethiopian government that if the funding was available, then there would be more action?
I would like to think so. There has been some sort of movement, but it's up and down, like any other country. There are issues always coming, and with the new NGO or CSOs legislation, that I think only few organizations are left to work with rights-related issues and gender equality in general. So what this means is that many of the organizations, the CSOs, will be moving towards service provision. In a way, that would be a good thing for women, because I would like to think that there will be more services to poor women in terms of economic benefit. But what this gives us, the very few organizations that are registered as local NGOs, that means they don't have any funding, but they can work raising internal domestic funding and work in gender equality, then we will have to push the government more to do. But what I say is that there is a bit of a movement, but there needs to be a lot of support.
And I guess some of that support needs to come from the international community in terms of helping with funding.
It definitely. Meet their own promise, and then I think we can hold our governments accountable afterwards. to say that you have the funding, you're not really prioritizing issues correctly. But as it stands, it becomes very problematic for women living in our countries to hold our governments to uphold the constitutional principles, while we know that resources are really, really inadequate.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Semhal Getachew. She's a lawyer from Ethiopia and a women's rights advocate. She's going to be speaking in today's Vancouver events for International Women's Day.